Daniel Palmer, San Antonio, Texas.
Matt Damon!
Stop all the downloading!
It's showtime.
This is Old School at the Movies, episode 73, for February 27th, 2014. Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Check out some great shows like The Spanish Announcement, Trending Mobile Technology, and The Real News. Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. Before we get to the panel this week, let's get into the contact information. OldSchoolMovies.net is the site where you can listen, download, and subscribe to the podcast. If you want to get in touch with us directly, don't be shy, OldSchoolMovies2@gmail.com, or you can tweet us at OldMovies.net. That's OldMoviesDOTnet. So without further ado, let's introduce our panel for this week. After our short break, after some renovations in my apartment, we have our Iron Man, Mr. Heavyset.
Alonzi.
We've got Keb Botrek.
Howdy.
And we've got Carp.
Finally, the Carp has come back to Old School at the Movies.
Yes, finally, Old School Movies is back as well. Let's get into the news for this week.
I'm Bruce Nolan for Eyewitness News. Back to you, fuckers.
All right, so our news stories for this week. Warner Brothers sets the Lego Movie sequel for May 2017 release. We've got an alternate R-rated cut of Anchorman 2 hitting theaters on February 28th. Will Smith in talks to chase a terrorist for Universal sci-fi thriller Brilliance. Got some audio footage of Rocket Raccoon for the first time in Guardians of the Galaxy. Five times Hollywood has tried to repackage Taken and then resell it to us. And unfortunately, some bad news as well. Harold Ramis, gentleman who played Egon from Ghostbusters, dead after battling vasculitis. Heavyset, what would you like to discuss this week?
As someone who grew up on Ghostbusters, I really want to talk about Harold Ramis.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest story this week. Unfortunate story. This is from the Associated Press. Caddyshack, National Lampoon's Animal House, Ghostbusters, Groundhog Day, Stripes. Those titles are some of the most beloved and widely quoted comedy classics of the last 30 years. They're also Harold Ramis's filmography. Ramis, the writer, director, actor who quietly and often off-screen created an unparalleled and hugely influential body of laughs, died Monday at the age of 69. Ramis died from complications of an autoimmune disease called vasculitis, which he battled for 4 years, according to his talent agency. Vasculitis causes inflammation and damage to blood vessels, according to Chris Day, a spokesman at the United Talent Agency. Ramis was surrounded by family and friends when he died in his Chicago area home, where he's lived since 1996. Heavy, very sad day, you know. There's been a lot of talks of Ghostbusters getting redone now, and Bill Murray was rumored to be the person stalling it for a lot of years, from what I understood. So it's very sad to see that now he's not going to be in that sequel when it does happen. And just a great actor and a great loss for the film community. Let's get your thoughts.
I mean, like I said, I grew up watching Ghostbusters. That was by far one of my favorite movies. I've been fortunate enough to see it twice, re-released in theaters. And if it came out every year around Halloween, I'd go see it because it's by far one of my favorite movies. It's a movie, even though I've seen it a million times, I know all the lines, but I enjoy the roller coaster ride of that movie. I enjoy every bit of it. I mean, that's just one of my favorite movies that he was in. He's made a lot of like cameo appearances here and there in certain movies, and I've always just really liked him, but even though we're not going to get Ghostbusters 3, and I will hate Bill Murray till the day I die for stalling it so much, at least there was a video game that they came out with, which is pretty much as close to Ghostbusters 3 that we'll ever get, that everybody got to reprise the voices. And I mean, at least we have that, and it's going to be sad to see him go. I think yesterday was, you know, the launch of the WWE Network, and some of us wrestling fans, you know, really excited. And while I'm signing up for it, I'm looking on social media and I see a picture saying that he had died. And I was just stunned and just like, oh, what a great day. And then what a terrible day at the same time.
Absolutely. Anybody else want to discuss?
He directed and wrote some of the greatest comedies out there for our generation. For those of us who are in our mid-30s, Caddyshack, Animal House, Ghostbusters, Groundhog Day, Stripes. I mean, these are some of the most quoted comedies out there, and this is all part of him. So it's truly sad, and rest in peace, Ramis, and my condolences to the family, of course. More recently, though, from what I've heard, is that they were actually working on a sequel to the to the game that came out, which, I mean, I don't know what direction it'll go in now. I know he was writing it, so we'll have to see how that goes. And for those of you in the United States who got the WWE Network, as in the WWE said a big fuck you to their international crowd for that. So.
Yeah, well, you know, for the time being, I'm not sure if that has to do with regulatory issues on the countryside or if it's like individual countryside or if it's a question of infrastructure. They have to put local servers and stuff, but you know, I'm sure that'll come soon. And you know, worst case, if you do want to get the network and you're outside of the US, there are ways. Just do a couple of Google searches. Kebo Trek, what would you like to discuss this week?
That's debating between the Rocket Raccoon story and the
I know you're a big fan of that raccoon, so I figured you're going
out. I know, and I guess, you know, I was going to also think about the Lego movie, but I guess I'll be reviewing it, so I'm going to go with Rocket Raccoon.
All right, so let's play a quick trailer with the Bradley Cooper Rocket Raccoon voice.
Check out the rap sheet. Wanted on over 50 charges of vehicular theft and escape from lockup.
Rocket is the heart of the movie in a lot of ways.
This one here's our booty!
Rocket has some real anger issues. This is the kind of movie I'd like to see. There's nothing like it, that's for sure.
Guardians in the Galaxy being released the 1st of August 2014. A lot of hype for this movie. Kebo Trek, let's get your thoughts on this movie.
Well, I remember when Marvel first announced that they were going to be making a Guardians of the Galaxy movie, I knew absolutely nothing about it. And the first thing that really got my attention was the fact that they had this little psychotic raccoon that has like all these kind of weapons. Yeah. So it's like, how can't that not be an awesome movie? And, you know, I know it's in a comic book adaptation, but it's also more sci-fi-y, which is exactly my bread and butter. So when you take in a little raccoon with weapons and adding a sci-fi element, I think it's going to be an awesome movie. At least I hope so. I wasn't completely happy with the way they made the first trailer, but I mean, it's just a trailer, so.
You know, it's a good point that you brought up that not a lot of people know about the franchise who don't read comic books, really. And this is not a gamble for Marvel, but this is one of kind of their lesser known properties. So I'm really curious to see how it does box office wise and how it will resonate with comic book movie fans who don't really know the franchise. You know, if they can market it well, which I'm sure they have a great marketing budget for this movie. I think it's going to do okay. What do you guys think it's going to do in terms of box office?
I can see it doing, like, it's obviously, it's not going to do Iron Man. It's not going to do Avengers, obviously. I can see it maybe getting, maybe Thor kind of money. Like, I can see it getting about 200 domestic would be my guess, something around there. It's not going to get something like 400, but I don't think it'll be a flop either. You know what? I'm going to go 185 domestic.
I bet you it makes over two.
Oh, that's not that far apart. If you said over three, I'd take the bet.
Okay, over 225.
No, I'm not confident in that.
I mean, I like the fact that it's kind of a gray. They're anti-heroes. You know, it's not the cookie cutter Thor, you know, Captain America. These guys are kind of badasses. So it's attitude era for Marvel heroes. I think it's kind of cool. Anybody else want to discuss?
They're basically space pirates turned good guys, from what I understand of the Guardians of the Galaxy mythos, I like to use the word of. So it should be pretty cool. Chris Pratt looked like he got in such retardedly good shape for this, from like a chubby guy on Parks and Rec to this Star-Lord that he plays, or something Quill. Even Zoe Zalanda and Dave Bautista, their roles, they just, like, they look like they fit the parts from what I've seen, so.
Vin Diesel's in this as well.
Yeah, well, he's Groot. He's basically Raccoon sidekick, big tree sidekick, and he doesn't say much. He's awesome. Like Groot. He's almost like Hulk when Hulk's in rage mode, where he's like Hulk smash. It's like Groot, Rocket Raccoon friends. So
that's perfect for Vin Diesel.
Yeah, because since he is almost, you know,
the fewer lines, the better.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, Carp, let's throw this to you. What would you like to talk about?
Kevbo stole my article. Damn it! We'll go with the R-rated cut of Anchorman 2.
Last fall, before Anchorman 2, The Legend Continue even hit theaters, director Adam McKay talked about the hopeful prospect of releasing an alternate cut of the comedy sequel with all new jokes. McKay said, "We did so much improv on this one that we could literally replace every single joke in the movie and put in all new scenes and alternate improv runs. I think the editor is working on it right now with over 250 new jokes. I think it would be really funny to put it in theaters for a midnight showing." Well, last night, Will Ferrell appeared on The Tonight Show and told Jimmy Fallon that an R-rated alternate cut hits theaters February 28th. This is really interesting because I'm not familiar with many movies that have done this. I don't know if any movies have done this. I think it's a great additional revenue stream for movies, and it's great for the fans who might have liked a bit of an edge, more of an edge to the movie. In this case, they've already made their money anyways. Why not release this extended version? Get those extra dollars. I think it's genius marketing, and I think more movies like this will happen in the near future. What do you guys think?
Well, I mean, it already happens on the DVD market with your unrated and uncut editions, you know, extra few minutes here and there. But a almost complete retelling of the film with, I think they said something like there's a total of 700 jokes and he split them both in half and that's what each movie is, which is very surprising, especially re-releasing as an R-rated cut for only a week. I'm really surprised by, because I figure you put that out as long as possible and grab even more cash if you can. Like, if I were,
but I think the scarcity of it will entice people to go see it.
Yeah, to me, this should have been at least a month-long release. From what I'm seeing, February 28th, there's not much coming out this week either. So they're jumping into a good week for at least 1 week, whereas next week they'd have a significant drop-off from what's coming up. But as of right now, it's, you know, it's extra cash grab, and it's almost perfect timing. So
yeah, I think it's genius to add additional revenue to a franchise. Anybody else want to discuss?
I think this is a really good idea, and like we said, I think that is the only time we've ever seen this before. What I would like to see them do is actually also put it on DVD, put that full cut, like a 2 or 3 set DVD on this.
Yeah, and I think they're going to do that anyways, but why not have that extra couple of weeks in, you know, in this case, I think it's going to be a week, but, you know, I could see them easily getting 25, 30 million additional revenue just off doing that. I don't see any issue with it. I think it's genius.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Let's get into the movie.
Any idea if it's a limited re-release or is it a wide re-release? That's my other question.
I would say it'd be wide. I mean, I think they could easily get a couple thousand screens.
Let's see what we got here in the article. 5% of the original. No, yeah. So it doesn't say anything. So I'm assuming it's wide release, but you never
know. Yeah. I mean, especially if it's going to be 1 week, they're just going to power release it.
Yeah.
Like, why not?
Yeah, to me, it's got to be a wide release to fully bank on it.
No, for sure, especially with the scarcity of the 1 week and all that. All right, let's get into the movie review of the week. We've actually got a couple. We're going to start with Lego Movie. Kebo Trek, go ahead.
I mean, I really love this movie. It's an hour and a half of having a smile on your face and just, you know, seeing some of the stuff they do, some of the characters they brought in. Like, it was a lot of fun. It brings you back to your childhood a bit. And, you know, I didn't know too much about the movie going in, but I liked that it was, like, as stupid as this sounds, it was Lego-y. Like, it wasn't a typical animated movie. Like,
did it aim a lot towards the kids, or would an adult audience enjoy it as well?
Oh, adults would absolutely enjoy it. I mean, like, I'm usually not an animated person at all, and I love this movie. Like, just like, you know, like the water would be made of Lego and just stuff, little stuff like that. And I just, it's one of those movies where you're just happy while you're watching it. Like, some of the scenes put a smile on my face. They had some great cameos. I won't spoil the big one. But, you know, they had, like, Shaq in it. They had Superman. They had things like that.
They had, like, Lego Shaq.
Yeah, Lego Shaq, Lego okay. Superman, Lego Gandalf, like, all that kind of stuff. So it's just fun seeing, you know, like, these different franchises being in the same movie because Lego has the rights to the, like, to the Lego stuff. So it's just,
oh, that's kind of cool.
It was really fun to see. I'm trying to think if there was any like, I really can't think of any negatives. There was a human element. I'm not sure how I feel about it. Completely understand why they put it in because it had a really good message. But other than that, like, I really can't think of anything bad about the movie. It's just, you're going to have fun watching it, and I really hope they make a sequel.
Heavy, I understand you've seen this as well. Let's get your two cents.
I agree with a lot of things that he said. I mean, the human element that they throw in towards the end helps tie it up and really makes it like to where it's not just a movie. It's something else, and I'm not going to ruin what that something else is. But it's like he said, there's a lot of great cameos. I think a lot of voice good cameos and a lot of good just character cameos. I think one of my favorites is Jonah Hill. He does a voice cameo for Green Lantern, and he'll what is it? I think Superman is Tatum, and they have kind of a thing back and forth. And I mean, just like those two have chemistry, and what they did on the screen was funny. I mean, Jonah Hill's voice is probably one of the most recognizable, not of like of all, but like when I heard his voice, I mean, you just go, oh, it's Jonah Hill. I would recommend anybody to see this if you've ever played with Legos. I wasn't big into Legos as a kid, but like I like the video game series that they've come out with recently, and there is a lot of humor that, I mean, that goes towards kids and a lot of that go towards adults. And it's one of those that walks the fine line of entertaining the adults just as much as it entertains the children.
And that's definitely the way to the massive revenue stream we've seen in the past. Those movies that can do the both geared to the adults and the kids, those are always usually the most successful.
Exactly, and I think if they do the sequel, I think it could have some good potential. More cameos, more Lego sets. They're coming out new Lego sets every year. I think almost everything in my childhood besides wrestling was represented in that movie, besides one other thing, and that was Ghostbusters, oddly enough, and they just announced a Ghostbusters Lego set. So they could possibly have some sort of cameo that way in the sequel, and there's probably many other sets that they didn't even put in this movie. But I'm curious of what they'll do with the second. I'm not sure if it will be as good as the first, but I think I'm willing to give it a try.
Awesome. All right, Carp has also seen a movie as well. Let's get your thoughts, man.
I saw the RoboCop reboot.
Oh, wow. Okay, and first question I have to ask.
Yes.
Do they put the old theme at all in the movie?
Yes, they do.
Yes! Almost okay, I might have seen that.
I mean, it was okay. To me, nothing will beat the original with, you know, Peter Weller's death scene where just he gets blown to shit. That doesn't happen. There are some really good moments. It is PG, so there's not as much, obviously not as much blood. Like in the old school one, he goes to the Coke factory and he shoots people up while Coke's going everywhere. Well, this one, it's a meth factory. And instead of him basically killing all the bad guys, his gun is like a taser bullet. So it's kind of disappointing not seeing the massive amount of death and blood.
I remember that one guy who got shot like a billion times.
Yeah.
It was one of the, it was awesome. Yeah.
The Ed 209 doesn't completely destroy a human being. It is a hidden message about people bitching and complaining how drones are taking over, you know, military stuff at the opening scene. How there's no real directives. It's more of a do not kill whatever. Like, it's a do not kill this type of person, and they have these special things, which is kind of disappointing. What's his name? Michael Keaton played actually a pretty decent, you know, conglomerate, multimillionaire bad guy type guy, but he wasn't as evil as the original bad guy. There is one scene which would scare the fuck out of people, and it's when they basically take apart RoboCop's body and they show him what's left of him. That would terrorize most children who saw this. So that was that was one of the best parts of it. Too many Ed 209s this time. It felt like a prequel to the reboot, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So to me, it's 5 Ed 209 out of 10.
I don't see why they didn't put that original theme in the trailer. I think that's a monumental mistake.
Yeah, no, it's like whatever happens, and then they show RoboCop and they play the theme, so. Which was nice. I mean, I went with our buddy Watson, and we both marked out when we heard the theme. So.
Again, you know, Kev has said this before with the Need for Speed trailer. It was captivating. It gets you into it. You want to see, and the trailer is one of the biggest selling points for a movie, if not the selling point for a movie. You'd figure you want to put all the stops and get that nostalgic in.
Yeah, you want to sell it on the 80s kids like we are. So, I mean, I'm kind of surprised that they didn't do that in the trailer. And there was parts, it's like, he's a lot more human than he is robot, and they do something to change him more robot. I'm not going to say what, but I don't know. There's, like, too much of the family in this one, whereas the last one, the family just basically, oh, he's dead, let's leave. Whereas this one, they had to have the wife sign off and basically say, oh, your husband's going to be, you know, a vegetable, and you're going to have to feed him tubes, or we could try this super life-saving experience now. To me, that feels like... When I watched the movie and I sold it to Watson, I'm like, this could have been the prequel to RoboCop where he was the first attempt at the machine. And they were like, oh, yeah, it's too human. Let's fix it in the next one.
Fuck it, yeah.
So, I mean, it's watchable. It's definitely a cheapy Tuesday movie. So.
Okay. That or, I guess, a download.
Yeah, well, a legal download for $5 or less.
Kev, you had a question?
Not a question. I guess I just forgot to give my rating for Lego.
Okay, go for
it. So I'm going to give it 9 bunk bed couched on 10.
And I give it a 4 out of 5, and my rating, that means to at least see it, find a way to see it.
Yeah, so if you convert that to Canadian decimal, that would be an 8 out of 10. All right, let's get into the numbers for this week.
Since I haven't been on here a while, I want to double check. Did anybody do a review on Delivery Man?
Delivery Man.
No.
I know.
Remind me what that is.
Vince Vaughn. Will was verbally filleting the movie when we were first talking.
Oh, was that the one where he has the 700 kids?
Yeah. He's like, it's a shot.
Fuck, I heard that was garbage.
It's a shot-for-shot remake of the original French movie. And Will's
too busy talking about cock.
I actually think it's not a bad movie. The worst part about that movie, and I'm being very serious, is them casting Vince Vaughn. Vince Vaughn doesn't do a bad role. It's just, it's Vince Vaughn, and we know like what he's synonymous with, and you kind of go in thinking it's going to be something that it's not. And the movie has a good human side that I liked, a good story that I liked, but it was just like, if they could have cast somebody else besides Vince Vaughn, maybe a little more of a nobody, it would have been much more enjoyable, much more appeal. But they wanted to go with, okay, it's Vince Vaughn, come watch this movie. And it's nothing like a normal Vince Vaughn movie.
It's interesting you mention that, because Kev and I said the exact same thing before we even saw, you know, before it even came out, that the casting made no sense.
Yeah, and even watching it, I was like, this is actually a pretty good movie. Like, the rating that I give it is a 3 out of 5. It's nothing I would say run out and go get, but if you could rent it for a cheap or something, it's worth that at least. And like I said, the only problem is Vince Vaughn. And like I said, he's not even that bad. It's just everything around him is not Vince Vaughn, not what we're used to with Vince Vaughn. So putting him in here was really out of his element. And yeah, it's just, that's the only thing that rubbed me the wrong way about it.
So
I would have cast Steve Carell.
Yeah, here's what I'm wondering, Heavy. Would you have cast a comedian or more of a dramatic actor for this type of role?
But you can get Steve Carell. He can do both.
Steve Carell, he might have been a good pick. The one that I kept thinking of was maybe Bradley Cooper, but even I was kind of iffy on that one. But I think, actually, when I think about Steve Carell, because the fact that the part of the movie is that he donated that much semen, like, you got to think, like, okay, it's not going to be a guy that people are going to just go for and they're going to throw themselves at him. Like, make it some sort of reason. I mean, there's a storyline reason why he did it. They don't really connect the dots exactly. They kind of, like, tap around it, but there's actually, like, a good reason why he donated that many times.
He's got a lot of cum in his balls. All right, let's get the numbers this week. Break it down. All right, Kev Boutrek, let's run down the movers and shakers for this week's box office.
Coming in first place for a third straight week, no surprise, is the Lego Movie. It added $31 million to its total, giving it $183 after 3 weeks. Obviously, the studio is super happy about this on a $60 million budget.
Made a good amount worldwide as well.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. And I think it'll finish probably around $250 domestic. So obviously, on a $60 million budget, they're going to be delighted. And as we know, a sequel is already going to be made for that. In second place, 3 Days to Kill with $12 million on a budget of $28 million. Not a great opening, but from the indications I've seen, it will eventually show a small profit. Speaking of not making a profit anytime soon, in third place, we have Pompeii debuting with $10 million on a $100 million budget. We'll throw this one to the panel. Why was it such a failure?
I didn't hear anything about it. It was terribly marketed.
Not enough lava?
Yeah, you know what? I think
I keep reading shit about, like, it's basically kind of like Dante's Peak meets Titanic. Like, you got a love story with the part of Pompeii exploding and killing everyone. It's getting shit on pretty hard. So, I mean, it's obviously not that great. But it does star Jon Snow. Everybody loves Jon Snow.
Jon Snow.
For a $100 million movie, you just heard nothing about it, like you said.
Did you see who directed it?
I did not.
Oh, your Kevin Smith. Precious little fucking man meat that you love from your Resident Evil series.
So. Well, you know, that's why he has to stick with the classics.
piece of shit, though.
No. Coming in fourth place is RoboCop, adding 9.8 million, giving it a total of 44 million. While I don't think the studio's too happy about this, it's doing fairly well internationally, so it's not going to be a disaster. I don't think we'll see a sequel, but not a disaster. Coming in fifth place is The Monuments Men with 8 million, giving it a total of 58 million on a budget of 70 million. I haven't checked the international so-so. I think this is another movie where eventually it might show a small profit, but I don't think they're happy overall with the results.
Because this looks like a big rental. Like, it's one of those, I'm trying to remember the big rental of last year. I'd like to take in movies. Those do extremely well on the DVD and the home market.
Yeah, definitely. And, like, I think this is going to skew to an older audience. So I can see it having good legs and good value on the home market. And I think we'll eventually see it showing a very, very small profit. Coming in sixth place is About Last Night. Adding 7.5 million, giving it a total of 38. I don't think I've even heard of this movie, so don't really know what to say about it.
African American rom com.
Yeah, black rom com. Starring the midget Kevin Hart.
Uh huh. And speaking of the midget Kevin Hart, coming in seventh place, adding 4.6 million, giving it a very robust 123 million, is Ride Along.
These guys played off really well. I'm actually anxious to see this movie. Just because Ice Cube and Kevin Hart seem like they're just that buddy cop polar opposite good mix.
Yeah.
And I think they're definitely going to go with a sequel on this one.
I think from the early numbers, Kevin Hart might be the most profitable actor for 2014 at this moment. He's pumping out $100 million hits.
Yeah, but he's like Jackson. He's in every movie.
I didn't see the movie, but I love the skit with Conan with them too.
Yeah, when they were in the car with the mustache thing, that new Uber car or whatever. Yeah, that was good.
Coming in at eighth place, adding 4.4 million, giving it a ridiculous total of 384 million, is Frozen.
This is a beast, especially internationally.
I don't, nobody was expecting this at all. Like, obviously, a Disney movie to do good and animated, but this kind of money?
All they needed, because I see this, but I didn't want to throw out a review, but I'll say this about it. It takes a traditional aspect of Disney cartoons that we haven't seen in quite some time, and they throw in the musical numbers and everything, and there was some pretty funny characters, and all they needed was enough of people to see it, and then word of mouth would have went out about it. And they probably pumped a lot of marketing on this on kids. And when you're a kid, I mean, at least I was. I mean, I remember watching Nickelodeon, seeing a lot of commercials for stuff like this, and maybe something would get me to want to go see it. And, you know, me and my girlfriend took her brother to go see it, and I was actually surprised. I was like, wow, this is not what I was expecting. But like I said, they go that traditional musical route. And for the kids of nowadays, it's something that they're going to grow up on, much like anyone in my generation grew up on Little Mermaid or Beauty and the Beast. Maybe I didn't watch them enough, but it's just, you know, Under the Sea, you know, that kind of stuff. So I think this is geared more towards them in that aspect, but the adults can enjoy in the aspects of it too.
Well, you're totally, like, if you look at the legs of the movie, it's pretty ridiculous how, like, its opening was pretty good, but it's managed to stay really up there. And, I mean, this movie made more than Despicable Me, which I don't think when it came out anyone would have ever thought of. So, obviously, I think we're going to be seeing a sequel to this as well. Coming in ninth place with about 4 million, giving it a total of 19 million, is Endless Love, which I know this is something old school really wanted to see, so.
I had an idea I was getting a cheap shot with this one. I figured he's coming in with the cheap shot.
So you need the sound cue of that endless love.
I've never even heard of this movie, so I don't know what to say about it. And finally,
the Colin Farrell one, right?
Is it?
Yeah, he plays the Irish guy. It's like Les Miserables, but with Irish people.
Yeah, that's sure. And rounding out the top 10 is Winter's Tale, adding a bit more than 2 million, giving it a total of 11 million. Oh, crap, on a $60 million budget. That's, well, another big flop. And that's rounding out the top 10.
All right, thank you very much, Kebo Trek. Let's check out movies for this week. This is Taken 14, a.k.a. Nonstop with Liam Neeson. Let's play the trailer and get your thoughts.
I hate flying. The lines, the crowds. delays.
I always kind of liked it. 6 hours, one seat, nobody can get to you.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard our non-stop service from New York to London.
Don't fly much?
All the time, actually. Someone on this flight is threatening to kill someone every 20 minutes unless $150 million is transferred to this account number.
We're midway across the Atlantic. How do you kill someone in a crowded plane and get away with it?
Ladies and gentlemen, we need every passenger to raise their hands above their head.
This is a bad idea.
Marshal! We have a right to know what the hell is going on!
Agent Marks, the account number you gave us is in your name.
What? That doesn't make any sense. This is a setup. Something else is going on.
The FBI, the White House, and Interpol are confirming reports that an international flight has been hijacked by an air marshal.
Agent Marks, our fighter escort has you in their sight. Do you hear me?
You're running out of time. Do you hear me? The Nazi hijack is planned. I'm trying to save it.
This plane has been taken by a terrorist, and fortunately, Liam Neeson has a certain special set of skills that he can do to hopefully save the day. Kebo Trek, let's start with you, Yerne.
You pretty much took the line I was just going to start with, asking if he had a particular set of skills in this movie. This is a rental for me.
But you know what? It's probably a cheapy Tuesday for myself, but
maybe like for
this formula still works.
It does. Like, I think I'd see it more like as bad as it sounds, and because I do love Liam Neeson, I'd see it almost for the comedy aspect, just to see him doing the same
stuff. See if he says says the lines, exactly. Certain set of special skills.
See, I could see myself seeing this on a cheapy Tuesday as well.
Yeah, heavy set. Let's get your thoughts.
Yeah, I'm an A on this one. We've seen it enough times, and don't want to see it another.
Carp, what do you think, man? You're in it.
Yeah, it's a big budget popcorn flick, so either Cheapy Tuesday or whenever I have a chance to add it to the bargain bin.
There you go. All right, Son of God as well. Not many religious people.
It's about Jesus. That's all you need to know.
It's about Jesus. Go check it out if you like. Jesus. If you like Jesus. All right, check out DVDs for this week.
DVD release.
So for this week, from what I'm seeing, Gravity is out in DVD. So if you guys haven't checked that out, I think the panel will agree unanimously, except for myself, who fell asleep watching this movie. I think I'm the odd one out there. It's a fantastic movie. Everybody enjoyed it. Nebraska as well, and this is an Oscar contender if you want to check that out. And Thor the Dark World is coming out on DVD this week as well. So a lot of good movies.
Man.
What's that?
You're missing one. Very important to every single male out there. Blue is the warmest color.
It's
apparently,
true.
It has the hottest lesbian scene ever. Like, Kevin Smith was flipping out on another podcast about how hot this lesbian scene was.
Oh, wow.
So, it's from what I understand, for a R-rated movie, it's bordering on NC-17.
Oh, shit. So, okay.
And it's gotten a lot of talk as well, just not for the whole lesbian aspect, but for the actual storyline and how phenomenal the two actresses are in this. So,
all right, so check out Blue is the Warmest Color if you want to see great storytelling as well as great lesbian scenes. Thor, Nebraska, and Gravity as well this week. Let's check out what's new on Netflix.
This week in Netflix.
If you guys are a fan of House of Cards, and this is on both platforms because it's a Netflix original series, you can get it anywhere in the world that carries Netflix. I really, really recommend you check out House of Cards Season 2. And if you haven't checked out House of Cards Season 1 as well, let's see what else is out there. If you're a fan of WWE, on the American side, we have A Christmas Bounty starring Mike the Miz Mizanin.
That lucky bastard. He just married Maurice, so.
Blue is the warmest color.
Yeah, isn't that out on theaters? Like,
No, DVD.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So if you want to skip that DVD line, just get Netflix.
Yeah, there you go.
On the Canadian side, I think we've got it this week because we've got Star Trek Into Darkness out this week, which is kind of cool. If you're a UFC fan, a St. Pierre versus Hendricks fight is also going to be there as well. And the web series The Guild, if you're a fan of World of Warcraft. What's her name?
Felicia Day.
Yeah.
It's a
quirky comedy about like World of Warcraft.
No, it's about the game. That's what it's called, the game. They call their World of Warcraft the game.
Are they LARPers or are they like actual WoW players?
You can go on YouTube and watch. Basically how the show started was, I think it was a YouTube series for the first season, and then Xbox or Microsoft came in, picked her up for season 2, 3, and 4. I think 2 through 5. And then she released 6 on her own YouTube channel, like after she had built this following. But it's basically about a bunch of people who play randomly online. They created this guild together, and within the first season, it's how they all end up meeting each other. Say like it's a show that I like watching, and the episodes are only a couple minutes long. You could really get through a whole season, which I know on Netflix they take them all and just combine them together, so it's one long episode. And it's like hour and a half.
So you could burn through it easily, like NTSF, SD, SUV, or Burning Love, or any of those Adult Swim comedies.
Yeah. Basically.
Oh, okay, cool.
So yeah, and also we've got 21 Jump Street as well. So I think the Canadians got it.
No. Wait. The United States wins this one because we have lost enough to Canada this week, so.
Hey, how'd you enjoy that hockey women's loss there, being up 2-0 with 3 minutes left? Booyah! True hockey power.
Yeah, but you don't win, you don't watch women's hockey except for the Olympics.
Well, yeah, you watch the gold medal game if Canada's in it. But
then after that, it's like, fuck women's hockey.
Like, CBC set records in this Olympics from all that hockey.
People love hockey up here. All right.
No shit. It's like your only fucking sport.
That's pretty much all we do. That and curling, which is kind of
because we did clean sweep the medals in curling as well. So.
Yeah, but like it was us in like just Switzerland or something.
No, us versus Great Britain. So we took something else away from them again, just like their land. And I forget who the women beat. So.
All right. Let's get into Carb's bargain bin for this week. Carb, what do we got in the bin this week?
The bin this week, WWE Productions, The Day. This movie.
Really?
Actually, it was filmed before, and WWE bought it.
Okay.
WWE bought the rights to it. Basically, a group of 5 people working to stay alive in a post-apocalyptic future discover what they think is a safe, abandoned farmhouse, but they soon find themselves fighting to stay alive as a gang of bloodthirsty predators attack. It stars 2 hobbits, Sean Ashmore and Dominic Monaghan. It's got the fairly attractive Shannon Sussman and Ashley Bell, who you would know from as a lead actress in The Last Exorcism 1 and 2. It starts off slow because it is post-apocalyptic. They never explain why the apocalypse happened, which I'm usually fine with. Kind of like The Road, if you've seen that, where basically they never explain why the apocalypse happened or anything like that. It's got... The camera work was really well done. It had this kind of grainy, dark filter on it, to say. Like, it was filming and it looked like the world was coming to an end. It was well done. The fight against the crazy cannibal survivalists was really well done. Or fights, I should say, since there was multiple fights. Creepy Kid Gets It in the End was also really well done. It's just, like, I can't see 2 guys who played hobbits ever surviving an apocalypse, so that was my only questionable part. For me, it's a 5 axes to the face out of 10.
You know, this movie made about $13 during its release, so I think it's interesting you're covering this in the bin, because it was something I was kind of curious about. But
I got it for $4 on a used Videotron day. The opening weekend, it made $10,000 in the United States.
Oh my God. All right, let's close the show with some plugs and final thoughts. To start with you, Carp, to get your plugs and final thoughts.
As always, if you're up for it, we're always looking for new members on StableWars.com. And for those who have a chance, actually, this is going to be a shout out to another podcast, but it's not movie related. I highly suggest Colt Cabana's Art of Wrestling.
You know, a lot of wrestlers are getting into the podcasting field, or just talent. You've got Jim Ross that's got a podcast. Jericho. Austin's got one. Jericho.
Jericho got a second week after like a month of podcasting. They're like, yeah, you got to give us 2 weeks because of all his rock star connections, his hockey connections because of his father, and his wrestling connections. It's amazing. And his, you know what, honestly, Talk is Jericho is pretty hilarious. He has characters that he's created, like Gordy Canuck, who comes out and talks specifically Canadian, which is hilarious. So
check those fine podcasts out. Heavy Set, let's get your plugs and thoughts. What's going on with your network, man?
Kind of been at a break a little bit because I was out on the road for quite some time, and it's trying to figure out when we're going to get stuff done. I know I got still the Ohio Indie Report still on there. We did have a baseball show for a little bit, but the guy who was doing it wanted to pump out shows so often, and I was like, dude, you got to like hold back. We only have so much bandwidth for right now. We haven't upgraded or anything, and he ended up just leaving, so that's whatever.
Okay.
But, yeah, Kayfabe Sports, www.kayfabesports.com. Hopefully I'm going to get more into that here eventually. I just, for the road, I just bought a mobile hotspot. I got a new laptop. So whenever I am out on the road, things will be a little bit easier for me to do. So that's all the up and up. And going back to the movie draft thing, I would like to do a summer movie draft. Not do the prediction of how well we think it's going to do. Like, because there's so, it's like an actual draft to where you have a lot of really good candidates out there. And the winner, I mean, you only have a couple. And I think if we did an extensive one throughout the whole summer, it would be a lot of work. But there would just be so many studs, quote unquote, that people could pick from, but it'll be who had the best draft.
Yeah, yeah, we can definitely do a summer draft. Why not? All right, Kebo Trek, let's get your final thoughts.
Resident Evil.
I will say see the Lego movie because it's a lot of fun.
That's something different.
Because right. Everything is awesome.
Everything. I was singing that song today at work. It's damn catchy.
That is the other good thing about it is that song, like, I actually thought it was just the Lonely Island, but they only have, like, a small part in it. I don't know who the two people who do the song, but it's catchy, and then when you find out towards the end of the movie that there's a part of Lonely Island, I think that makes it pretty awesome, because everything is awesome.
Agreed.
All right, so for Heavy Set, Carpo Trek,
who's that?
I am truly insulted.
For Heavy Set, Kebo Trek, and Carp, by Mr. Old School, thank you very much for listening.
Than an awesome possum. Dip my body in chocolate frosting. 3 years later, I shot the frosting. Smelling like a blossom. Everything is awesome. Step to mud, got new brown shoes. Thoughts from the wind and it's thoughts from the loom. Thoughts from the loom. Thoughts from the loom.
What's up? It is Heavy Set, and I'm here to tell you about Kayfabe Sports Radio, the home of the Ohio Indie Report and NFL Easy Picks. On the Ohio Indie Report, I break down what's going on in the Cleveland scene of independent wrestling, from AIW to Prime Wrestling, and some of the little organizations in between that I can attend. And if you also like NFL football, be sure to check out NFL Easy Picks, hosted by myself and my good friend Joe Bennett, as we break down and talk about what is going on in football, and we make our picks on the coming week's games. And all this can be found at www.kfabesports.com. You can also find us on iTunes by searching Kayfabe Sports Radio. And while you're at kfabesports.com, be sure to check out the links for Kayfabe Sports Radio, Ohio Indie Report, and NFL Easy Picks on Facebook and Twitter. So for now, be sure to check out the Ohio Indie Report and NFL Easy Picks on Kayfabe Sports Radio, where it's all a work.
Slamming your
your brain through a table of wrestling knowledge.
Oh my God, what's going to happen? Look out!
News and rumors. The Spanish Announce Table.
TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.
Heavy Set, what would you like to discuss this week?
I would like an outline first.
Sorry.
Just like old times, you fucker.
Just, yeah, going back. Memories. Oh, it's taken.
It's taken
on a plane.
The plane has been taken.
And get your thoughts. No pre-roll. Fuck! Hold on. All right, Kebo Trek, let's get your final thoughts.
Resident Evil,